Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
At LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring two, three, or even more cars with us. To get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/Gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/Gamertag.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Here we go.
There's a title screen when you start the build. You can take a picture.
We actually put the wallpapers up too, so you can just grab those. Is everyone?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hey everyone, as we come to the close of day two of E3, hopefully everyone's hanging in there. My name is Danny Oob. I'm studio head of strategy games at 343. With me is Jeremy Cook, our art director, who will be driving the demo for us today. So Halo Wars 2, what is it we're trying to accomplish with this game? The goal is ultimately to make an RTS for anyone. The RTS for everyone that anybody can play, everyone can hop into. I think RTS is a fantastic genre. One that I've always enjoyed, I've always loved. I played them on PC when I was growing up, and I just really would love to see that magic, you know, come to more people. Before I go too far, RTS players in the room? Anyone? Yeah, so, dabble here and there. Exactly. So, and this is exactly the point, right? Like, how do you take an RTS and make this something that everybody wants to get into play? For us, that journey to accessibility really started with the first Halo Wars, right? If you remember the first Halo Wars, that game really did a better job than any other console RTS of taking that experience, taking those controls, and making it work. And that was our starting point. We started from there on console, and we've continued to build, and we've created a completely second set of controls for mouse and keyboard. We've not just ported the console controls, they are two very distinct control mechanisms. So how do you go about making an RTS for everyone? It's not an easy challenge we're going after. For me, it comes down to the modes. So we have two base game modes, obviously campaign and multiplayer. We're still very early in development, but we're tracking somewhere between 10 and 12 hours of campaign and a number of multiplayer modes. And for me, that's where the magic starts to happen of starting to make things that anyone can get into. I find myself talking about the modes on like a continuum a little bit. So if you think of RTS, like, what are the ingredients of an RTS, right? It's resource collection, it's tech tree management, it's build dependencies. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot that goes into an RTS. And for some people, I think it can kind of be like jumping into a TV show that's already four seasons in, right? If you've never played it before or watched it before, it's kind of like, I don't know, I'm pretty far behind. How am I going to jump in and go? What's fascinating is when you start to play with those ingredients, you can get some interesting recipes. As you tweak some of those ingredients or you remove them altogether, you start to move along that continuum to things that are faster types of gameplay, easier to jump into, you know, less things you need to know how to do. And my goal when I look at it, like if this is the continuum and this is our classic RTS modes, all the way to the extreme over here of a new mode called Blitz, which we'll be talking about closer to launch, but that just turns RTS gameplay completely on its head. I would love to see a world where people who've never played RTS before hop in somewhere on this continuum and then start to move their way up here, right? As they, like, start to go more and more. It's like, oh, I get this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this. And all of the modes are ridiculously fun for their own reason, so everyone can, you know, just hop around if they want. But these modes offer basically something for everyone. Why are we doing this now? Fan service, right? You know, when we look at our franchise, this has been, depending on when we pull, either the most requested ask or one of the biggest asks we get is, when is Halo Wars 2 coming? So the biggest complaint we had with Halo Wars, why didn't we do it on PC? You know, it's a natural, and here we are today. Halo Wars 2 coming out Xbox One and Windows 10 as a Play Anywhere title as well, which is really cool. So if you get it on one, buy it on one platform, you will also get it on the other. And you can move your progress seamlessly between the two. Your saves move with you, your achievements, your unlocks, all of that good stuff. So talking about the modes, you know, we've got the beta that we announced a couple of days ago that's running right now. We have, that you guys are all missing because you're here, but we'll be running until Monday, so hopefully people have a chance to play when you get home. We're running Domination right now, and we're going to be switching to Deathmatch on Friday, which is, you know, obviously the classic classic mode. On the floor right now, we've got Strongholds, which hopefully some of you guys have had a chance to check out. That's one of those newer kinds of modes where it's a lot faster to get into the action. And today we're going to be looking at Campaign, entirely on PC, as you can tell by Jeremy's glowy setup. We're going to be showing you the first mission of the campaign. Quick note, since we're going to be doing Campaign about story, a reminder, this takes place 28 years after the first one. The crew's been in cryosleep. They wake up to find themselves orbiting the Ark, and they encounter that beautiful man, not you, sorry, the one behind you, Atriox, which is our, oh, you're a good-looking guy, too, which is our new villain, right, leading up our new faction of the Banished. We established Atriox at Gamescom. We wanted to just show off the physicality of that character, where you just literally see him by himself beating the crap out of three Spartans, which obviously never happens. But Atriox is not only incredibly strong, he's a brilliant leader. He's a brilliant strategist. He's incredibly cunning, which makes him also incredibly dangerous. So we're going to hop in now, start to look at some of the campaign stuff, and we'll talk a bit through that about controls and some of the goals for the game as well. Assembly, obviously, huge reputation in the industry. Almost two decades of solid RTS experience and PC development experience. So it's just a great combination.
We cannot allow that to happen. One of Atriox's lieutenants, Decimus, led the attack on the UNSC outpost here. So it's time for payback. Strike one. Scout out a location to establish a forward base.
So as Jeremy starts to move forward, you know, you can kind of see those PC controls already. Very easy to draw your box and select it. You know, these are our base infantry units, so kind of okay against everything. And they're just our starting force as he starts to progress down and come across his first banished encounter.
Spirit fire action. We have eyes on a banished camp, folks.
Roger that, strike one. Strike two, you're up.
Well, he is not alone, fortunately. He's got some backup rolling in. So we talked a lot about, you know, making this an action RTS. You know, what does that really mean? It means a lot of explosions, right? It means a lot of things blowing up. It means really overwhelming firepower. And just giving you that feeling that as a commander, you have this, you're overseeing this massive army, and you have tons of destructive power at your fingertips. And it's also a lot about feedback. You can see everything Jeremy's shooting. Again, really cool explosions. Nice. And a lot of tracer fire on everything, right? So it's very clear what you're shooting at, who is shooting at you. Again, the goal of making this more accessible for people, make it very obvious at a glance that people can tell what's going on without having to look for health bars and things like that. Is that help? So Jeremy's getting reinforced right now with one of our new units, the flame units. I do think the fire looks beautiful. I can actually stare at this all day. Really, really good against other infantry units. And one of several new units that are going to be making their debut in the game. Jeremy is showing off the alternate fire for his vehicles. This incredible missile swarm that's highly, highly destructive. So he's starting to set up groups right now. Again, the advantage of mouse and keyboard, you can set up to 10 battle groups, so you can very quickly direct your troops and move them around without like having to go through a bunch of selections. So like Jeremy's setting up his strategy here. So as he's rolling up now, he's going to... Gonna come down here and there we are. So he's found the controls for the bridge. So we're just gonna activate the light bridge and begin to go to the other side. So as this gets rolling, you know, Atriox, we've actually been really thrilled with the response to him. And obviously Jeremy is our So to give Jeremy a break, Jeremy is sitting in as demoer. And ironically, I do believe I heard someone say, I bet this will be the moment that the build crashes. So.
It really is maxed by power.
Right? So you can just go power through to the point we were in. Obviously, still in development, so all the usual disclaimers apply. I am happy to say that is our first crash of the show, so I am not surprised that it happened. We literally said, hey, Jeremy, it's here. We literally said, hey, man, we just need you to come in and drive one. It's been fine. Don't worry about it. No one told us Dustin was coming, but else we would have put some lead around the box or something like that. So just a word on Atriox while Jeremy catches up again. We're really thrilled with the feedback on that character, and obviously Jeremy is our art director, a huge part in defining what that character looked like. The genesis of it was really, obviously all brutes are incredibly physically strong, but what if there was one that wasn't only a lot stronger than the others, but ridiculously intelligent? And that's really where Atriox started to come through. He's got a very fascinating backstory, and he's a lot less black and white than a lot of our villains have been. As we get closer to launch and we talk more about story, we'll talk about his backstory, his motivations, and what he's really up to. But, you know, that first trailer, we really wanted to show off his physicality, and then to the trailer we showed at E3, here at the show, really setting up that he's an intelligent leader. And it's just such an awkward, I just love that moment where he's, like, standing next to Cutter, and the two are just, he's obviously, Cutter's so physically outmatched. But it's just, we're setting up a very different kind of contest that's about to take place. Some of the great feedback we've been getting on the floor, if I don't know if people have had a chance to play both builds, it feels really good on console and it feels really good on PC. Like, the stuff just kind of works. And we've had people who've never played on PC kind of pop over after playing on console to try out those controls, which has been a good deal of fun. All right, we're back. Dustin, I need you to not crash our build.
Okay.
So it's the usual RTS is in effect, right? Like that whole rock, paper, scissors mechanic of different units being good against different things. You know, Jeremy is, it looks like he's lining up some of his infantry units ahead of his armor to just kind of keep that protected. And we'll pop over and see what's on the other side. The other thing worth mentioning from a fiction standpoint is this game takes place shortly after the events of Halo 5. So we're bringing the crew into the same story timeline.
Now we can tap into their power.
Nice of them to apply. They've got hunters. Target them first. We can't let them destroy the Gridley.
All right, so as you heard from the warning, the Banished are rolling out their anti-armor units. So Jeremy's quickly going to go down to intercept.
Collecting supply.
Kind of keep his tanks back so he can shell in and use his flame units against the hunters, which are highly effective against that, because the hunters can take apart his tanks pretty quickly. So you can see he's kind of focusing on removing them while his tanks are providing cover from up high. And again, you can see he's selected that battle group and he's bringing them down. So again, one of the fun advantages of mouse and keyboard and a lot of firepower is how quickly you can do that. We have facilitated groupings on console as well, so you can assign groups to the D-pad, so it's just very easy to just make some assignments and be able to move your units around. And it creates some good play opportunities as well. It means you can just kind of create this massing ball of death, which is what Graham has been doing in his demos. And it's just fun to watch. Jeremy immediately started setting up battle groups and kind of go for a different approach.
So on console, is it up to full groups?
Yes, yeah. They're not letting up on you.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the missile barrage is so much fun. Obviously, you know, units have those kinds of special alternate abilities that they can do from time to time. We're going to go down and see, again, he's got quite a few hunters coming out after him, so they're definitely going to try and take out those tanks. And there's the barrage. Oh yeah, that's a big part. Like, you know, you look at all the action that's going on right now, this is kind of what we want. Like, very explosive, high energy, just feels like there's constantly a lot of action going on, and just really fun to move your units in. Jeremy's grouping up. Is he going to heal? It's just mopping up. And that's overkill.
Yeah,
right there. But
overkill.
So he's going to start to check out the other side of the bridge, see what's there. And he's found one of the bases. So he's
going to...
going to try and take this base out so he can build his own, which will allow him to start creating additional units. And there's Mirage. So you can...
Wow, that was pretty effective.
As Jeremy starts firing on it, you can, going back to some of the player feedback we were talking about, you can start to see the base very visually come apart and change as he begins to open fire on it. And again, that's another part of the player feedback. We obviously have health bars on all of these things, but we want players to be able to look and gauge the status of, like, either how effective they are in their attack or how much trouble they're into when their base is under attack, so they, you know, they need to start worrying about it. Now, Jeremy's just going to mop up these guys, but you can see the Banished are dropping some reinforcements to try and secure the base and stop his advance. Obviously don't want him to be able to set up the base here. Jeremy is really going to want to secure this base, but the Banished are not necessarily going down quietly. The base is not long for this world. Yeah, and that's it. So now he's going to want to clean up here so that he can drop in his base. Yeah, that guy does not have much life left in him. And there we go.
Delivered to D-6. Over here to fire. Area is clear. You now have authorization to call in a fire base. It's the heart of your base. Once it's constructed, you can call in more structures to build an army of fighters.
I know, that one was close. So Jeremy's setting up the drama for us. So now you can see he's going to be able to drop in a fire base, and this is going to allow him to start to construct new units, because he's definitely going to need to reinforce before he continues to go after the main base. So we wanted to give everything a sense of authenticity, at least as much as possible. So you can see as the LZ comes, things actually drop in, right? The idea is they're dropping in from the Spirit of Fire. They don't necessarily just come up from the ground. And it's really cool. Jeremy's been doing a lot of great work on giving personality to the base. So you can see as it drops, it starts to expand. The pods are coming down. The base is going to start to open up. And once it's fully opened, you're going to be able to start building things like barracks to start building up the rest of your reinforcements. The other thing we want to do with the base is give it a good sense of life. Things are always moving. Things are always coming in and going out to just really give it that sense that this is not a static entity. There's actually a great deal going on. So you're intercepting communications. Decimus, the leader for this mission, kind of ticked off. Trying to figure out what's been going on. But Jeremy's just using this kind of moment to bolster his base and kind of reinforce a little bit. He's dropping in a couple of turrets for some defense. And Decimus has kind of figured out what's going on at this point and is using his commander ability against Jeremy to kind of drop some pain. But Jeremy got his base to a good point by then, so some damage, but it's not going to stop his ability to create his strike force here. Starting to load up. You got some Marines coming out. Got some Pelicans are going to drop in some reinforcements as well. That's going to help Jeremy get ready for that push against Decimus. The Banished have been pulling whatever resources they can from the Ark. So you can see he's pulling together a pretty varied force. He's got some infantry, he's got some more Hellbringers to deal with any more anti-armor issues he might run into. You look up top, he's dropped in a couple of Warthogs, which are, you know, obviously a classic Halo unit, nicely versatile. So Jeremy's got a pretty good force set up here. Based on how they've been reacting to him so far, he's probably going to be protecting his tanks. And you know, now he's going to use his ability, which in this case is, of course, the med drones, which allows him to create a zone where all of his troops that are in there are going to get healed up. So he's wisely just repairing his tanks a little bit before he charges in. And here we go. So, taking a bit of fire on the way in. You got the tanks bringing up the rear. The tanks are taking care of a couple of laggers. Yeah, that's not a fair fight at all. So, yeah, once again, Decimus is using one of his commander abilities to, you know, try and take out some of Jeremy's troops. Good amount of damage, as you can see. So Jeremy's going to heal up again now that that... Is it not cooled down? All right, so not cooled down, so he is not going to use it again. You obviously want to be strategic about where you're using those things, because when something like, you know, if you get hit with a big thing, you're going to want to counter it. We may have another nail biter on our hands here.
No pain.
Uh-oh. Oh, and here comes some backup. And obviously you could pop back to the base at any time. Jeremy had a couple of reinforcements still back there. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Okay. I'm going to need both of you guys to leave. So that's fine. We're almost out of time for it anyway. We're coming up to the end of that mission where basically, spoiler alert, Jeremy wins and takes out the enemy base. So I do want to make sure we have some... Sorry, dude. I literally said, we just need you to do one. It's going to be a cakewalk. Don't worry about it. And we have not had a single issue, and both go down. That is awesome. But that's how you know it's actually a live demo, right? So we're obviously still a ways out. Several months left of development. So game's coming out February 21st, 2017. Play Anywhere title, Xbox One and Windows 10. In partnership with our friends at Creative Assembly. We're just really excited about where it's going. A couple of things quickly on SKUs before I turn it over for questions. We've obviously got our base SKU, but we've also got a really cool Ultimate Edition, which includes not only Halo Wars 2, but a Season's Pass, which is going to include a campaign expansion as well from the UNSC campaign side, which is going to be great, as well as Halo Wars 1 Enhanced Edition. Which will also be coming on PC. So Halo Wars 1 will finally be coming to the PC on Win 10 through the Ultimate Edition. It's a great pack. And we're really excited about the Season's Pass as well. Again, in addition to the campaign expansion that we talked about, new leaders, new units, like all kinds of things to really help you bolster your army. At this point, I wanted to open up in case anyone has any questions. We can just pop into it.
Is there crossplay between PC and Xbox One?
Great question. So... we do not have crossplay between. We're going to keep, console to console, PC to PC. We actually started, when we started development of the game, crossplay was something we were looking at. Through the normal course of development, you know, what the plate you start with is not always the plate you finish. We moved away from it. It is obviously full Play Anywhere title and all of these features that includes. But it is something we actually think is really cool. I think crossplay could be a lot of fun for this thing. And as we look at the evolution of the series, that's definitely something we're interested in bringing to life.
Was it more a technical thing, or more the PC is kind of easier, I guess, with nothing keep really fast in the house?
It actually just started as a development thing, right? You know, as you start to prioritize things and what do we need to get done, and, you know, as we looked at it and you start making choices... just like, okay, yeah, we just don't know if we can do it in this timeline, so we deferred it for the future. But I do think it could be a tremendous amount of fun. The issue, I think, you know, you're obviously relating to the differences in input issues. I actually think collaborative crossplay could be incredibly fun, right? Like, if you're on a mouse and keyboard and I'm on my console, yeah, you know, you're probably going to be able to do some things faster than me, but you're on my team. I don't really care, right? So I think there's some great crossplay scenarios that we could enable, and it's definitely something we're looking at.
What about the first Halo Wars? Is it going to be crossplay, or it's going to be the same?
Yeah, it'll be the same thing. It will okay. not. Yeah, the first Halo Wars won't have crossplay. We're basically treating those the same
okay.
way.
Cool.
Oh, skirmish mode.
Yes.
Is it going to be skirmish mode?
There are will absolutely be modes where you can get in there and mix it up a little bit.
Do you have any idea about how many units there are?
Are we getting into too much detail?
What's the total number of units?
Yeah. I know what they are. I'm just curious, are we talking about new units at this
point?
Okay, yeah, we're looking at 7 new units, I believe, Jeremy, for each side. We're showing this, the flame units, that's one of our, you know, our UNSC new units as well. And as we continue, we're talking about some of the Season's Pass stuff, you'll see some new units pop in through there as well.
How did those flame beams we saw to differentiate from the other shots? Weren't they flame beams? It was one of those flame beams. Flame beams, yeah.
These have additional upgrades. More flames.
More fire.
Because the only thing better than fire is more fire.
Yeah,
yeah, their upgrade path is different, and they can actually accomplish considerably more.
Goal for us as well is to carry enough from the original so that we can abandon that, but then layer enough to use that feels good. But not so much that.
I'm a confirmation. Can we play keyboard and the mouse on Xbox One version?
I don't believe it's enabled by platform at this point. I'm looking at Sensei.
We announced that we would be supporting it at some point, but there has not been a definitive timeline yet. So that's more of a platform question.
What about controls on PC?
So what are some of the unique features, you mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you played RTS before, there's certain things you expect from PC, right? Grouping's a great example. So we talked about you can have four groupings on the console because of the D-pad. You can have 10 battle groups on the PC just based on the fact that, you know, you've got more real estate to work with. Higher level of control based on the mouse. You can select larger groups of units at a time through that. The mini-map, I don't know if you noticed while Jeremy was playing, is fully clickable on the PC, so you can click to any point on that, and you can get there really quickly. And that's just where we are today. We're continuing to make PC control optimizations. You can hotkey anything, right? You can hotkey build orders, things like that. So if you don't want to deal with bringing up the menu to that, you can just assign macros to whatever you want and just quickly be able to get your build orders going.
What about those gamers that are used to playing with the Xbox controller on the first game? Can they do that with PC, or is it just strictly PC controller, keyboard, mouse, and keyboard?
Oh, no. So, yeah, you could plug in a controller to the PC if you wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And, how are the groups affected with Play Anywhere? Like, if I've got 10 and I'm playing on Windows 10, and then I jump back to playing on my Xbox One.
Yeah, we won't necessarily move you from the exact spot you were. So, like, if you were in the middle and you had, say you were on PC in your experience and you had 7 groups and you move over, we're not necessarily moving you to that exact point. So we would move you to a point where, you know, we would allow that to, you know, it could be the beginning of the mission or something like that. But yeah, the differences between the two platforms just makes us have to approach the cross saves a little bit differently.
So some other RTSs have the little icons on the bottom with build orders and other like progress things. Like, for one example, the hero regen that'd be on the bottom. Is that something that you're going to bring later on in the UI update, or is
there's definitely going to be a lot of evolution UI. Again, we want to get it stood up and working the standard for beta, and then now we can polish. So that's why we want to do this. We can have feedback. Like, I missed this, or I should have that. So we can actually have time for it.
Cool. I'm going to ask one that Rob might kick me for. Since
you already crashed our build twice. I don't know much what more you can do.
This takes place 28 years after Halo Wars, which puts it just about a year to 2 years after Halo 5. So how much of that story are we going to see reflected in Halo Wars 2?
That is a great question.
I had a feeling that was the answer I was going to get.
No comment.
I just figured I'd throw one out there.
We're excited. Halo is obviously about story, right? And we've got an amazing story to tell with Halo Wars 2. We're going to be talking about, what exactly that story is going to be a little bit down the line. But we're really excited about it.
Cool.
Thanks, guys, for everyone.
Oh yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry. I know we're over time. Totally. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.